Hello and welcome to the Untitled Car Show. I am your host, Ike. How are you doing this wonderful morning, evening, or night, wherever you are, where you're listening to this? I'm going to apologize right off the bat if my voice sounds a little funny. I'm playing with the microphone. I got a little itchy voice. So it's been a fun and exciting week. We had Ben Collins on the show. I am still all about that. So we're going into 2018, and you know, it's a matter of a few weeks away now, and I don't know if you set any automotive related New Year's resolutions for yourself. I'm curious what a good automotive resolution would be. Hold on just a second. Sorry about that. Had to take this one real fast. So I bring this up as kind of a, I want to set up a automotive New Year's resolution, but before I can realistically do that, I got to think, what is my biggest faux pas I do while driving around? So, let's go with personal, like what, let's go with what drives me nuts first. My biggest pet peeve is, you know, people not paying attention while driving. So, you know, if that's, I'm a left lane hog and people are hogging, you know, the left, or if I see a left lane hog, or if someone's not paying attention at, you know, red light turns green and there's that. I mean, really, light turns green, one Mississippi is all it takes for you to get off your brake. And I will give you the whole Mississippi because I drive a manual. And if you drive an old truck or something like that, brake uphill, got to put it in first gear, start grinding, getting that thing up to speed. But you should be off the brake within a Mississippi. I think that's enough. If you're learning stick, you know, and I can kind of see you struggling, then we'll give you a pep. But other than that, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for not paying attention at that red light. You know, people not seeing motorcyclists out there is another big one. Now, part of that's also motorcyclists driving like jackasses. I saw it today. If you're going to split the lane, don't split the lane at 50 miles per hour. Split the lane at, you know, standstill. You're stuck in the traffic with the rest of us. Just because you're on a motorcycle doesn't mean you get to have a free ride. You know, maybe 10 miles per hour, maybe movie traffic. This guy was splitting the lane at 50 miles per hour. Now, it was a 60 mile per hour road, but still, you're being a bit of a douchebag. So, you know, split when reasonable, kind of my thing. And, you know, check your mirrors, check your blind spot, save a life, you know. And then, you know, that's kind of like, and when you see people weaving, not paying attention and driving around, and then you get up close to them and you see they're on their cell phone, they're up to something, that's when, you know, you start to get a little irritated. When you see the guy in the left lane talking on the cell phone, that's when it becomes a, well, why are you, you know, doing that when you should be paying attention to driving? I kind of lost what I was thinking about in the middle of my sentence. So when it comes to, what it is we do out on the road, those are kind of my biggest faux pas I see other people do, the kind of things that kind of grind my gears, as they say. I am a big proponent of, if we up the speed limit, people have to pay more attention, thereby driving becomes safer, counterintuitively, because back in the 50s, I know I've talked about this before, but if you're a new listener, welcome, first of all. Second of all, sorry. But, you know, we, back in the 50s, doing 55 miles per hour, doing 60, 70 miles per hour. That was like kind of the ragged edge of what your car really felt comfortable doing. Now, you know, we have all these safety advancements. And I say, you know, a lot of people are like, well, do we really need airbags, or do we really need seatbelt laws, or blah, 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 crumple down time, start looking man. Like, that's, I don't agree with that. I'm a big proponent of be safe, get in the car. You know, I don't want anyone to die, you know, in an automobile. If I could prevent it, I would do everything I could to stop it. So I like the safety advancements, but a negative side effect of those safety advancements in a weird way is that cars feel safer, they're smoother, they ride better. And that means I'm doing 55 miles per hour in my Ford Fiesta, you know, based on, it's an ST, but it's based on one of the cheapest cars you can buy in America right now. And 55 miles per hour feels like nothing. 60 feels like nothing. You know, allegedly doing over 100 in that car feels like nothing. You know, it doesn't really feel like you're moving. And you pair that with a, you know, road structure, you know, infrastructure of mixed caretaking, I guess. And you got a recipe for, you know, single car accidents, because, you know, when someone says, oh, I didn't realize I was going so fast, then they might legitimately not have realized they were going so fast because it doesn't feel like anything. I remember the first time I was in the Challenger, going from an 04 Saturn to a 2011 Challenger. Really, the difference was night and day, and it didn't feel like I was doing very fast at all. So, you know, if you're driving around a $60,000 car, BMW, Mercedes, you know, a lot of these Audi products, the Volvos, a lot of new cars, I mean, they're super quiet, there's no wind noise, you're driving, you know, a vehicle that was designed for the Autobahn, it was designed to go, you know, 120 miles per hour, take a 70 mile per hour rear end collision. We have these cars that can handle it. And now you're telling everyone, hey, you got to do 50. And that means you're doing 50, which means it doesn't feel like you're going that fast. So you don't mind looking down at your phone because it doesn't feel like you're doing anything dangerous. And that's kind of what, that's kind of the nexus of my, this, we need to change that law, we need some better laws, we need new speed limits, but, you know, I don't necessarily blame these drivers for doing it, but I do wish, you know, if we all started driving 100 miles per hour on the road, we would all, you know, they might get one of us occasionally, but if it was literally the 300 million people in the U.S. or whatever the hell the number is now, we're on the interstate, we're all doing 100 miles per hour. No, we could, there's not enough police to, you know, pull over everyone. Now, I'm not advocating for civil disobedience, but it is one of those things where, I don't know, it would be safer, and it would be interesting to see how that would stack up on, you know, a day like that versus a day now. Because speed difference is the biggest killer in crashes, or the biggest cause of crashes. And you got one of these things where, you know, grandma, grandpa, they're not going too fast, they're not going too far. So 55 miles per hour is what the speed limit says, and I'm going to do 55 miles per hour. And, you know, it feels like it's drizzly now, so I'm going to drop that down to 42. And then you got people who are late in a rush for work who are doing, well, speed limit 55. So I'll do 65, I'll do 70. And you got a difference now of 30 miles per hour on a highway. You know, and I've seen people who, you know, there's an interstate around here where it's 65, minimum speed is 45 on it. You know, they want you to put your flashers on below that because it's technically then you're a low speed vehicle and you should be on the road in the first place. But we, you know, so I've seen people do 80, 90 plus on that road, and then they'll be coming up behind people doing 45. And they're not 45 in the far right lane. They're 45, you know, it's four lanes, I think, at this point. It's an HOV. It's a HOV, and then I think it's three more lanes. So then you got people doing 45 in the HOV lane with people coming up screaming behind them doing 80 miles per hour, and it becomes a shit show. And there are bad crashes on that road, I would say probably twice a year, and it's real unfortunate. And, you know, I think if you take out the onus to be distracted driving, I think that fixes a lot. I kind of went off on a tangent there, but let's go back to kind of where we began this thing, which is what those are kind of the faux pas that drive me nuts. But now let's talk about my own driving issues. So, you know, it's self-reflection time, and it's time to be a better driver, Ike. So I am, I think the thing I am worst at doing is I back up my car a lot only using my mirror. Like if I'm reversing out my driveway, if I'm in a parking lot, you know, I need to back up. I don't know how this habit started, but I'm in a bad habit of, you know, check the mirrors, look behind me, check the mirrors, reverse out doing it that way. And it drives a lot of people nuts when they see me do it. And, you know, knock on wood, I haven't had a issue yet where, but I have, I think there's been a close encounter with someone probably like two or three times this year. And so I think that's my biggest New Year's resolution of, you know, back up like a normal fucking human being. Like, so there's that. I don't know. It's strange. I mean, I can drive backward. If I know I'm driving for an extended distance, I think I'm pretty good at it. I don't know. Is it a laziness thing? I don't think. I don't know where this bad habit came from. What else am I bad at? I think it's a lot of mirror stuff. I am too reliant on the mirrors. I got, you know, the Ford with the little blind spot mirrors. And I haven't had an issue with it this year. That was more of a goddamn jigga. So the closest issue I had was I was driving on a two-lane interstate, which is mind-boggling around here, Interstate 97. And I checked my rearview mirror, you know, the middle one. And then, because I'm in the right lane, like a person who's doing just over the speed limit should be. So I check my right lane, or I check my rearview mirror, I check my right mirror, check my left mirror, check my rearview mirror again, see if anyone's creeping up on me. So somehow in that mix of stuff, a SUV came screaming up next to me. And I will admit, I was a little tired, so this is going to lead into another thing here. I start merging over into that lane. I get the horn honk. I'm like, holy crap, where did that car come from? Pull back into my lane. And I don't know if, I don't know where it came from. I'm assuming it zoomed up behind me. But I'll try and go back to the old school way of doing it, because it is a bad habit. And apparently, you know, I drive a lot of, you know, cars now that aren't my own, doing reviews and whatnot, and I need to do one of these things where I get into the habit of check blind spots, check mirrors, you know, check the blind spot one more time and then merge. And one of the other things that I've become really bad at is in the state of Maryland, using your turn signals is a act of cowardice or something, because it will be, you know, driving along Route 50, you know, four lanes. I'm in the middle lane. I want to get around someone. I have four car lengths of distance between me and the person back and to the left. If I turn on that turn signal and any amount of time before I start to move over, that person behind me to the left in that fast lane will speed up to block me from coming over. This is not hearsay. This is not, you know, oh, this is just my experience out there. This is something that's been basically categorically repeated over and over and over again by, you know, I've seen people do it on purpose, not to me, to other folks. I've seen, well, sorry, I tried to save you from a big yawn. I've seen people do it, you know, to other people driving. I've had every issue, every time I go out and about, I see it happen. If you use your turn signal for lane merging around here, you will get cut off. It's just how it works. No one gives a crap about you trying to pull in anywhere. They don't care. It's not so much. They're just policing other people driving. So I've gotten into this bad habit of not using my turn signals like a normal, rational human being would do. And, you know, it's even so bad. So a good example is one of the big roads that takes you out of the district is it's New York Avenue and Bladensburg. So I'm coming down Bladensburg that merges onto New York Avenue that turns into US Route 50. So to give you an idea, this is a three-lane road. There's a gas station on the right, and then you're merging into New York Avenue, which turns into 50, which is also a three-lane road. So it's three lanes going into three lanes. There's two lanes that are allowed to turn left, or I'm sorry, two lanes that are allowed to turn right from Bladensburg going on to New York Avenue, heading out that. There's green lights, not long enough, but there's also a green arrow. So, you know, I'll be heading on this road, and this has happened to me more than a few times, where I'll be in the middle lane, going to turn right. Mind you, the middle lane has the option to go forward or go right. And then the right lane has the option to go just right. So it's a right turn only lane. And I've had it more than a few times happen where I'll be in the middle lane going to go right. So turn on the turn signal. Guy behind me, I will see this happen. Guy behind me sees that I turn on my turn signal to go right. I don't know if this is part of some weird insurance scam or whatever. Instead of getting over into the open left lane to proceed forward, which is the only option that left lane has, they will cut to the right, speed up to prevent me from turning right. So I don't know what you get out of that. Are you trying to cause an accident or whatever? But it's almost like as soon as you signal around here, people take it as an invitation to mess with you. And it's mind-boggling to me, especially coming from Illinois, where, you know, around Chicago, we got our nitwits, of course. And then you get out into the country, though, and there's a lot of two-lane highway. People understand, stay right, accept the path. And it works 85% of the time, which I think is remarkable. You signal, you indicate to other cars, you know, you're coming up on someone behind you, you tap it out there, they, you know, you tap the brights, they get over. It's how it's supposed to work, you know. So coming from the Midwest, you know, we hold open doors for people, you know, everyone's busy, but no one's in a rush, I guess is a good way to put it. And it makes for a better life. Out here, because I've been so traumatized by the other drivers, I'm starting to roll into their bad habits. So it's just so irritating to me that I become a non-signaling person. I tried the other day on the way home. I'm on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway. I am in the right lane. I go left to pass a vehicle. About four car lengths ahead of that vehicle is a car driving slower than I. So I'm like, I will try and do the right thing. I tap the brakes to that person. They have plenty of room to move over. They are moving slightly faster than the person I just passed in the right lane. So I assume, hey, you know, I don't know how long ago you passed that guy, but you were in this lane four car lengths ahead of this person for at least the last, you know, 90 seconds to maybe 2 minutes as I approached up on you, you know. So please move over to the right. So double tap the brake. What do I get? I get, I'm slamming on the brake. And I don't understand that. It's like, all I'm trying to do is indicate to you, hey, I want to pass. I don't know if this isn't taught anymore, if that's the issue, or if the issue is, I don't want you to pass. I'm policing your driving because I think this is the way I'm supposed to be driving. You are going too fast, and me and this other guy are going to police it. So he slams on the brake. The car I just basically got around screams by us because we went from driving, you know, 5 over the speed limit to driving, you know, 20 under the speed limit because this guy has to slam on the brake. So as the moment he goes to pass me, I get into the right lane because I don't want to wear my brakes more than is necessary, and I proceed forward in the right lane because that's the non-passing lane until I get up behind that guy again. Go to indicate to turn into the left lane, and the guy who just slammed on his brakes starts speeding up to cut me off again. So I get into the right, or I get over into the left lane, I speed up, I get back over to the right lane, and I continue driving at the speed limit I was driving before this whole debacle happened. So, you know, these moments, these times where I'm like, I need to signal, I need to do this stuff, I need to be a better human being and a better driver and a better fellow driver. A lot of times it comes back and bites me in the ass. And I'm really thinking, you know, I shouldn't let this stuff break me and prevent me from driving like I should. I need to be a better driver. I need to not let Maryland get to me. Because for every driver out there who drives like me in the state of Maryland, who has given up on trying to be a good and decent driver, that means the situation is only getting worse. So I think I need to get like a plaque or something put in the car that says like, drive like a champion, so that I can, you know, be reminded not to give in to peer pressure, I guess. So that's kind of my automotive, not giving in to peer pressure New Year's resolution. Or I can make my New Year's resolution, everyone else in Maryland needs to get their shit together, which I can help them get their shit together, I think, by being a better driver. And I don't know, there needs to be a driver ranking system. We need to have a Yelp for the road. Ooh, this is a good idea out there for you, huh? I think we do need to have a Yelp for the road where, you know, we could do a, you know, every car's got a license plate. You know, you see a car license plate and you just punch it in, you know, like Maryland, 1234. Like, 1234, great driver. And now the issue with this is going to be, like Yelp itself, you know, it's going to be abused because all you're going to get is, you know, that guy cut me off and I don't like him, blah, 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 blah. So, but, you know, we could do a, how fast were they driving? They were driving faster than I was, slower than I was, same speed as I was. You could do a, you know, did they signal? Like, it'd be interesting to put in there, like, did they signal, blah, blah, blah. And we could put an interesting thing on the back end where, you know, this is me putting it together. You know, if they were driving faster than I was, did not signal, cut me off, and proceeded to drive, and that was the end of the incident. I'm calling that a slightly poor driver. Because the normal person who's going to turn that in probably isn't a great driver. It's a matter of, you know, trying to brace everyone else's expectations. Yeah, that'd be interesting. The thing that I'd be concerned about is what always concerns me about when you do like driver's license stuff or driver's, you know, or license plate. That's the word you're looking for, right? License plate. When you do license plate stuff, my concern is always like, you know, someone put in there like hot blonde lives here. Like that's where it becomes like, kind of sketchy. So I think you'd have to set it up to be like a, you'd have to like be able to self-police that. I don't know, maybe this is something I can look into doing, or if you're a good listener out there, you can look into doing. Well, it'd be fascinating to me. I put out on the Twitters, you know, what's your New Year's resolution? Donnie Petrinuk, friend of the show, stop buying sub-$1,000 cars on Craigslist. It can be a bad habit on, you know, Craigslist just crawling around. Ooh, cheap car. Ooh, cheap car. Ooh, cheap car. Especially, you know, this is enough. Work. So I think that might be the, you know, if the old school, because I don't know if this is all that true anymore, the old school, you know, lady who was single forever always had a million fucking cats. And I think the old school guy who was single forever had a million fucking broken down cars. You know, and then there's outliers, blah, blah, blah. I think that's changed a little bit, but I don't know what the proper amount of cars is to have for, that's interesting. What is the, you know, because I always say, I find it funny, I think I, is this judgy? Here's what I think. So I don't think past the age of 25, with the possible exception of if you are a beer brewer, you should have a beer or bottle opener on your keychain, or on you really, period, at all times. I feel like, you know, 25 is where that should start to go away. By the time you hit 30, you shouldn't have it. It just, you know, if I meet you and you have one on you and that's your car keys you take to your day job, the judging has started. I'm not going to say I don't like you, we can't be friends, blah, 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 but the judging has started. So I just don't know. It's one of these things where it indicates a lifestyle that I don't necessarily want to be a part of. Now, it's different when it's the 24 Hours of Lemons rally and every night people are cracking open beers because it's fun and something different and you have it on your sports car because that's your fun weekend car, blah, blah, blah. Fine. I'm just of the opinion of you're over 30, you should have, if you are a beer drinker, that's what you choose, you should be able to go somewhere and not need a bottle opener, because why would you need it? Like, if you're bringing the beer, you can bring the opener. You know, if you're not bringing the beer, your friends and acquaintances should be of a certain means where they have one available to. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But same thing goes for cars. If you're a single person, I don't know. You can have more cars. I don't see, this is interesting because if maybe it depends on the type of person you're trying to attract. Because I'm trying to think, I really think four for a married couple is kind of the limit, but I actually wonder if it might be higher for a single person, because why wouldn't you have more cars? Because you can't, because the missus ain't going to tell you not to. So, no, it's interesting. It's an indicator of a lifestyle. Like, I would be all about, hey, you have 5, 6 cars. Go sick. I'm happy about that. If you're a married person, maybe, I think there's an expectation of, see, I don't know if there is a limited car. Like, you know what it is? I'll tell you exactly what it is. I know what the limited cars is. So when you walk into a crazy cat lady's house, the way you tell there's too many cats is because you can smell them. And I think that's the indicator if you have too many cars or not. If you're out and about and I can smell it on you. So I don't mean that as like, oh, you were working on a car and then you went out, blah, blah, blah. No, when everything you own smells like motor oil or gasoline and you're not a race car driver, then this is an issue. Yeah, or, you know what, change that. If we walk here, I got it. If we walk into your house and we can smell it, that's when you have too many cars. You're allowed to spill. You're allowed an accident. You're allowed to have all that stuff. But if just day to day, I walk into your house and you have enough cars where it's like, I can smell it. That's how I know you've had too many automobiles. So, because, you know, I'm good friends with, you know, Tyler Hoovy, you know, Freddie Tavares, Hernandez. You know, I like these guys. They got a buttload of cars, and I appreciate that. And I bet you not a smell of it in the house. So, you know, you're David Tracy? Maybe a bit of a smell in his house. Just say, maybe he smells a bit like motor oil. Not knocking David, but I can see maybe he might be approaching on too many cars. But I don't know. What is the viewer's thoughts on that one? Let's see here. We also got same guy, Donnie, talking about his faux pas he does in cars. He's guilty of two things. Waiting until my expected range hits 0 miles to empty to get gas, and leaving my vehicle running while I fill it up. So I used to be deadly afraid whenever someone was going to fill up their car and leave it running. Like, oh my God, it's going to explode. It's going to damage the car, blah, blah, blah. Now I've kind of learned better of it. If it was an issue, you wouldn't be allowed to pump your gas with the engine off. And what I mean by that is we're in such a litigious society. Either every state would be like New Jersey and have gas station attendants, or there would be a audio sensor or something that wouldn't let you fill it up. So I'm kind of okay with this now. I know it can kind of mess up your car, but I don't freak out now when I see someone else doing it. I still do kind of freak out when I see the people get in and out of their car, you know, without discharging the static, or doing the, you know, smoking around it. That's mind boggling to me in this day and age. But again, if it was such an issue, you'd hear a lot more about it. So that's where it kind of comes down to me. Why, you know, I'm okay with it. I don't know. It's as far as the 0 miles of fuel range, that's the thing I'm guilty of too. So I got to work on, I got the Cobb Stage 1 tune kit, or you know, whatever the lowest one is, the Cobb Stage 2, Cobb Stage 1, Cobb Stage 3, Cobb Stage 1, whatever, in the car. So it's got to run on 93 octane. That's the one I put into it. So it's a 93 Stage 1 tune. And I like to push the limit on the car. So I've done it a few times now, and I've had this happen. So I'm driving from D.C. to Annapolis, Annapolis to my house up near Baltimore. So I'm in, I got enough range to get to Annapolis, and I'll fill up when I get there. And when I say I have enough range to get to Annapolis, I mean, I'll be getting off the on-ramp. I know there's a gas station there. That's 25 miles away. My range till empty says 25, sometimes 24. I'm like, eh, I got this. So I've done this a few times now, and I need to stop it because I got there filled up, you know, 0 miles till empty, 1 mile till empty. Filled the vehicle. Start it up, pull out, turn right, get up to the stoplight, and the car will sit there and it'll idle, and the idle will kind of be like kind of surge, and then kind of stop, and then kind of surge, and then it just stops. Like, that's strange. So start the car again, the car starts up, and it has a similar issue. You know, idle's just a little off. And I go, ooh, I don't know exactly what's happening here. So I did it a few times, and a few times it happened on me, you know, basically the same problem. What it ends up being is there's air bubbles in the fuel because the fuel pump is picking up and pumping out air, and because of the way the Fiesta is designed, little bitty air bubbles get caught up in there, and it's not good for the injector, it's not good for the, you know, engine, because no fuel, no go. So... and it is a return style system, so, you know, it's constantly pumping out fuel, get it cold, cool down the fuel pump so it stays cool and works the longest. So the fact that it's happened a few times where air's gone through there, it's no bueno. So I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to basically, when the car says, hey, we got 30 miles to empty, it's like, all right, that's the new zero. Because otherwise, going under that last gallon of gas in that car, it's not good. So I'm with Donnie on that one. You know, it could be, it really needs to be my New Year's resolution. That really is the most important one for me to do. But that's not really a New Year's resolution so much as it is a, like, I just need to stop doing that period thing. Chris Clark, friend of the show. Responded, what's this New Year's resolution? Yeah, I changed my timing belt on my S4. I've had that before too, where you just put off work constantly. Like, I'll get to it when I get to it. I'll get to it when I get to it. I'll do it in the new year, blah, blah. It never happens. So, you know, it's like me with the gym membership. I'll go in a week. I'll go tomorrow. And it never happens. So, that's kind of my issue. So I'm curious to hear all y'all's New Year's resolution. Send an email, send me a tweet, go to the Twitter, respond to it, at Untitled Car Show. Our email is, as always, untitledcarshow@rightfootdown.com. You can reach me there. You can reach me on Twitter at Untitled Car Show. Once again, you can send me a Instagram message. Or an Instagram thing, whatever they do on there. I don't have my actual phone at the moment. I'm using a weird loaner from Sprint, so Facebook, Instagram, and all that stuff is kind of not readily accessible to me. So maybe not this week, but in a few days, I'll have all that stuff back up. So if you send me a message there, I'll get to it later in the week. Other than that, I think that's going to do it for the show today. There's some other stuff. Look for episodes coming out here soon. And have a good night. Have a good evening. wherever you are, whatever time it is there. Thank you so much for listening. Please be safe out there. Oh, and happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. Is it Ramadan time? Happy Ramadan. If you celebrate none of those, Merry Winter and Happy New Year. Yeah, I'll be saying that for the next few episodes, I guess. Have a good one. Bye-bye.